It's good to see your presence this morning, a beautiful Lord's Day, and beautiful singing and prayer and study of God's Word this morning. It's good that we can be out at the house of God to worship Him. This morning, this will be our final lesson in this series of sermons on the Christian home. And this morning we'd like to study on the subject of resolving family conflict. In this series of lessons, we've studied about the sanctity of the home, how that God created the home. It is holy. God created Adam and Eve and joined them together in holy matrimony and marriage, one man and one woman. Also, we studied about the duties of husbands. Husbands are to love their wives as themselves, to honor their wife, to support their wife, and certainly be good to their wife in every way. The duties of the wife, she's to submit to her husband, she's to love her husband, respect her husband. Also the duties of parents. As parents, we have obligations. We're to support our children, we're to teach our children the way of God, to be a good example before our children. Also the duties of children. Children are to obey their parents, love their parents, and honor their parents. Also, we studied about the duties of singles, those who are not married, those maybe who are divorced, widows. Of course, they are to live a holy and pure life, being faithful to God in every way. And so this morning, we'd like to study on resolving family conflict. We mentioned in our first lesson, the family as an institution today is struggling. There's many problems in many homes today. Many homes are not what God intended for them to be. Husbands and wives often suffer strained relationships. Relationship is not what it should be. The love maybe is not there that should be there. Parents and children are frequently at odds with one another. Parents and children arguing, fussing with one another. They're not getting along. They're not doing as God has commanded. Much misery in life is due to dysfunctional family relationships. I believe that much family turmoil can be resolved, that we can do away with a lot of the conflicts that exist if we follow the Scriptures. When we understand the areas and reasons for potential conflict, and when we're willing to take action to do those things that God has commanded us to do, we can avoid many of the conflicts that exist in families today. We want to consider some of the causes of family conflicts today. Money is one of the main reasons that there is conflict in many homes today. The husband and wife, they don't live according to their means. Even those who maybe make a lot of money, over $100,000 a year, they are spending more than they make. There's a TV program. This person comes in and examines their lifestyle and how that they're spending a lot more than their income and puts them on a budget. And so many homes, there's problems over money. Husbands and wives arguing because maybe one is spending more than the other one. One divorced lawyer said that 90% of his cases is because of money, divorces, because of money. Also, parents and children argue over their allowance or their lack thereof. And so a lot of conflicts today is because of money. Also, children may be cause of conflicts. Many children do not behave. The parents are not able to control their children. There's also a TV show about Super Nanny, how that she comes into their home, how the children act up and misbehave. And she tries to show them how that they can teach their children and they can overcome this conflict. Yes, discipline, maybe diet, and other parenting issues can be sources of disagreement. A lot of times the mother and father disagree when it comes to their children and how to raise their children. Having children can insinuate difference in belief on issues like how to discipline, who's responsible for most of the child care, or what educational options to choose. And so there are many conflicts in the homes today because of the children. Also, enmity. There's a lot of conflict between husband and wife because of this. The frequency, the quality, infidelity are all common sources of disharmony. Many husbands and wives are not faithful to their spouse. Certainly this causes a great conflict in the home. Parents struggling guiding children through landmines in our sex-crazed culture. And so this also can cause conflict in the home. Also, when it comes to the chores, the work that is to be done in the home, a lot of conflicts between the wife, the husband, and the children. Many couples argue over who's to do the household work and how to do it. They don't agree who's to do what in the home. Instead of dividing household chores fairly, they quibble over who did or who didn't do what. And so there's a lot of arguing, a lot of fussing that goes on in the family, in the home, because of the chores that are to be done. Also in friends, what friends they should choose and be with can cause conflict in the home. What friends will be considered acceptable for spouses and for children? Not all friends are helpful to relationships. Some of them can be harmful. And so we need to be careful the kind of friends that we have, the kind of people that we bring into our homes, their influence. If our friends are not what they should be, certainly we need to try to teach them the truth, but we can't let them influence us into doing that which is wrong. In the entertainment, also there are conflicts sometimes. Maybe the man likes one type of entertainment, maybe he likes sports, baseball, and football, but the wife doesn't like those things. And there can be a great conflict. The husband maybe wants to sit around all day watching football, and his wife wants to do something else. Different interests can threaten family relationships. Also, when it comes to religion, many times there's a conflict. The husband believes one thing, the wife believes something else. They're different. Yes, what shall we believe? How shall we raise the children? What holidays shall we observe? Religious difference in religion can create much conflict in the family. And so there are many, many conflicts. When it comes to relatives, how about the in-laws? The fathers and the mothers, do they sometimes try to run the families of their children after they've left home and they're married? Or grandparents, or brothers and sisters, or stepchildren? Can all create stress within a family. Many families, they do not get along with one another. And there's a lot of conflicts and a lot of stress. To what degree do we allow them to impact our lives? Also, expectations. When a young man and woman get married, they have certain expectations. And things do not work out as they expected. Yes, we all go into marriage and family with certain expectations. We expect spouses to be as mature as our parents were, or our standard of living equal to theirs. And because things are not like they were at home, they're very disappointed and very upset. Unmet expectations are a major source of conflict in marriages and families. Personalities, of course, can cause conflict in the home. You may marry a young man, and then his personality maybe is not what you expected it to be. Sometimes young men or young women, they can put on a front, and they're not really what they seem to be. And you're upset with them because of their personality and their actions. their personality traits and personal habits that can doom marriages and families. Yes, a husband, he may drink alcohol, he may use tobacco, he may curse, and of course this upsets the wife very much. Even adults can behave like selfish children. And so this list is not exhaustive, but illustrates the challenges that families often face. Even so, I believe the solution is rather simple if we're willing to implement it. Yes, the Word of God tells us that how we can overcome and resolve family conflicts. If we'll follow the teachings of God's Word, we can avoid many of the conflicts that exist in families. Religion is the key. Religious beliefs affect every area of potential conflict. When it comes to our children, the Bible tells us how we're to raise our children. When it comes to money, the Bible teaches us how we're to use our money. We're stewards of God. Our friends, the kind of friends that we should choose and have in our home. Agree on religion and other problems will be easier to handle. With God on your side, you'll have His blessing and providential aid. Ignore Him, ignore God, and you face your troubles on your own. When you have God on your side and God is with you, it's much easier to live a family life. Behave as Christians. If you want to avoid conflicts in the home, if we just behave as Christians should behave, that will avoid many conflicts. Grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Develop Christ-like qualities. That is, if we strive to be like Christ and follow His example, walk in His footsteps, that will avoid many conflicts in the home. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8, "But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you, are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so if we add these things to our faith, we can avoid many conflicts. If we bear the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And so if we add these things to our faith, we bear this fruit of the Spirit. This will avoid just about all the conflicts that happen in the home. When we add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, when we produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we'll be able to resolve family conflicts. It's when we fail or we lack to add these things to our faith that we have these conflicts. Treat your family like your brethren. Yes, if we were as good and kind to our family as we are to our brethren, it would avoid a lot of conflicts. Yes, with lowliness, humbleness, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." And so if we're humble, we're patient, we're kind, yes, we bear with our family, then this will avoid conflicts. In Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Here Paul is writing how that we're to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. But if we would just do this to our own family, your wife or your husband or your children, esteem other better than yourself. Look not only on your own things, but look at what they have and their needs. Just as loving brethren helps to ensure good days and answers prayers. In 1 Peter 3, verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, that is your wife, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you have thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so there are many good thoughts in these verses, how we should treat our families and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love your family like we're to love our enemies. You might think, well, I don't love my enemy. Well, Christ commands us to love our enemies. Refuse to retaliate. Respond with good to your enemies. In Matthew 5:38, it says, you've heard it's been said, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat. Let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And so Jesus here is giving us how we're to be a good example. Be willing to turn the other cheek, go the second mile, and do what we can for one another. Love your enemies just as God loves you. Matthew 5:43 says, ye have heard, been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil, on the good, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And so here he tells us to love our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. You know, if we would just treat our family as Christ tells us to treat our enemies, there wouldn't be the conflict in the home today like there is. Yes, it takes two to fight. And so be the bigger person. Refuse to fight with your wife or your husband. If one person does the right thing, differences quickly diffuse. Yes, Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so if your wife is angry at you, answer in a soft tone. Don't argue back with her. It just causes more conflict. Proper conduct more likely encourages the other person to do likewise. If we're kind, we're humble, we're good, then this is going to cause the other person to be like that. In conclusion, with so many potential causes of family conflict, it's not surprising that many families are dysfunctional. It seems like today there's more dysfunctional families than there are normal families. So many families that are messed up. So many problems in the homes. Why? Because they're not following the teachings of Jesus Christ and His example. Yes, leading many to mistakenly believe that marriage and family are outdated. A lot of people today are not getting married because they seem to think it's outdated and it probably just end up in divorce. But when family members are willing to heed God's word, potential problems rarely arise. Conflicts are quickly abated. The home and family, as Christ would have it, can be one of the most wonderful blessings in the world. Yes, the home as God would have it to be. If we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, we add those things to our faith and bear the fruit of the Spirit, we're good and kind to one another, then we're not going to have all these conflicts in the home that exist. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you. He gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins. He suffered there on the cross, shed His blood, that we might have forgiveness. To become a Christian, you must have faith in God, to believe that He is. You must repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins to God. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. Jesus said that we're to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, with the mouth, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Jesus Himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You come in contact with the blood of Jesus in baptism. You're buried in water in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. You come up out of the water a new creature. You've been born again, a child of God. The Lord will add you to His church. And if you are faithful, heaven will be your home. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?